Hello, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Listen to Less. Today is the start of season three. So this will be episode one of season three. This season, we're going to talk all about preconception health. So I think when I see women and when I talk to women, because I talk to a lot of women given my line of work, it seems that there's this big push. There's two like tiers of life where at first you're trying to work on your aesthetic. You're trying to get stronger in the gym. You're trying to look a certain way. You're trying to look really good. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, and now I want to get pregnant. So I'm going to get off birth control and I'm going to start trying. And then we focus more on our health again when we're pregnant. But there's a big gap between the middle. And that is what I call preconception health, where you aren't necessarily trying to have a kid today or trying to get pregnant tomorrow, but you want to in the next like 1, 2, 3 years. So you really should be working on your overall health because your period is actually one of your fifth vital signs. A vital sign are things like your blood pressure, your heart rate. These are things that they take and they measure whenever you go to the doctor. If you're in the back of an ambulance, if you go to the hospital, they check your vital signs. Well, your period health is one of those vital signs. You know, your doctor is not necessarily, if you're in the back of an ambulance, they're not asking when your last period was. But as a woman, your menstrual health is a huge vital sign on telling you how healthy you are and if there's things that need to be worked on. So if you are trying to have kids in the next couple of years or you see that on the horizon for you, you really need to be paying attention to your menstrual health. You need to be paying attention to your ovulation, your ovulatory health, and making sure that your body is in the best position possible so that when you do start trying, it is much easier for you. I like to be proactive in this and that's how I think about it for myself, is I'm being proactive. Of course, when I start trying, there may be times where the egg that I ovulate is not healthy that month, like at a DNA perspective. So I don't get pregnant and there might be a couple of months where it doesn't happen even though I've done all the things right. But I want to go into that knowing that I did everything possible to keep myself so healthy and so fertile that when I do start trying with my husband, I know I've done everything in my control that I could have to be able to make that a very exciting time for us. Okay. So I like to be proactive about that. And this is what season three is going to be about, is preconception health. So when you do start trying, you're in the best, you just have the best odds for you going for you. Right. And a lot of things that you should just know when it comes to trying to getting pregnant. So if you are currently pregnant, you're currently postpartum, or you are trying to get pregnant now, this information is still going to be very valuable because you're a woman. So a lot of the things that I'm talking about, well, everything I'm talking about is going to still pertain to you, even if you are currently pregnant or you are trying to get pregnant right now, even though I just kind of said that this is preconception health, these things still apply to any woman. And when we talk about hormones, when we talk about ovulation, these things are very important, even if you never want kids at all, because your health is dependent upon your hormones. If your hormones are not in the right balance, if you don't have a period, if you're not ovulating, that is a sign that something deeper is going on. Unless, of course, you're on birth control and that's preventing you from doing those things in the first place. And you need to make sure that you are optimizing those hormones, understanding your body so that you can take your own power back. There's nothing more powerful than understanding your body, understanding your cycle, understanding what is going on. Okay. So in today's episode specifically, we're going to talk about tracking your cycle to get pregnant, or things you should know about tracking your cycle. We're going to talk about myths with LH test strips or ovulation test strips, because nobody seems to know how those actually work. And once again, it's not the fault of the woman's, it's the fault of the marketing of those things. But we're just going to talk about how to track your ovulation so that when, one, you know information about your hormones based on tracking your ovulation, but also so you know how to get pregnant. Because as silly as that sounds, a lot of women don't know this information. I didn't know this information until I was in my early 20s. I'm 27 now. I have been studying fertility hormones and things like that with functional nutrition since for about 6 years now, but I didn't learn about this stuff until I was like 20, 21 years old. So it's pretty crazy that we don't know about this information. And I think that, like, I'm going to talk about this later in the episode, but we could save a lot of heartbreak of difficulty trying if you just understand your body a little bit better. Okay. So first and foremost, let's jump into the phases of your cycle. So this is another myth or misconception out there. A lot of people will say you have four phases of your cycle, but you only have three. Your period is held within one of the phases. So the three phases of your cycle, which can be confusing because we think of it in the terms of a month, but there's three phases. You have your follicular phase, which follicular phase is the first phase. This is the first two-ish weeks. Sometimes it can be a little shorter than 2 weeks. Sometimes it can be a little bit longer than 2 weeks, but it's 2 weeks-ish is your follicular phase. Day one of your follicular phase is also day one of your period. So your period, the start of your period, starts a new entire cycle and it starts with your follicular phase. Okay. When you stop bleeding, you are still in your follicular phase, and your follicular phase continues until you ovulate. So let's backtrack and talk a little bit about the follicular phase first. So this is the first two-ish weeks. First day of your follicular phase is also the first day of your period. Your period is within your follicular phase, okay? So during your period, this is when your hormones are at their lowest point possible. I'm not going to go into all of the details of like how you would feel and all of that and all of the different changes within the cycle. This is more so based on tracking ovulation, but your hormones are at their lowest point during your period. Okay. And then as your period comes to an end, you're still in your follicular phase, kind of like that second week of your follicular phase, your hormones start to increase, except progesterone. You don't have progesterone present during this phase of your cycle. Your main hormone here is estrogen. You also have testosterone building up, and the closer that you get to ovulation, testosterone and estrogen are both peaking, okay? And then you also have two other hormones called FSH. This is follicle stimulating hormone. This stimulates the follicles that are in your ovaries to mature, and each follicle contains an egg that then matures, and then the lucky follicle that ovulate, when you ovulate, it's just one, the most mature follicle is releasing an egg. Okay. So FSH, follicle stimulating hormone, that starts to increase during your follicular phase as well to promote the final maturation or maturing of your follicles. And then you also have LH, also known as luteinizing hormone. This is what you're testing when you're peeing on a stick to see if you ovulated or not. Okay. So LH, luteinizing hormone, when your estrogen is increasing as you get closer to ovulation, estrogen, the rise of estrogen sends a signal to the brain. Then it tells the brain, we're coming up on ovulation, it's time to release an egg. So then the brain releases LH, luteinizing hormone. LH starts to peak right before you ovulate. And when that peaks, it tells whatever follicle is the most mature at that time in your ovary, it then tells that egg to, or that follicle to release an egg. Okay. And then boom, once you release an egg, you are in your ovulatory zone. Okay. So we're moving from the follicular phase into ovulation. Ovulation is when that egg has been released until that egg is no longer present because it has died off because you did not get pregnant, okay? So ovulation is actually only a one-day event, 24 hours. That egg, if it does not get fertilized by sperm, dies off after 24 hours. What does this mean? That means you have one day you can get pregnant a month. No matter who you are, one day a month, you are actually able to get pregnant. Okay. Now, we're going to backtrack a little bit because there is a 5-day window leading up to ovulation. So if we go back into your follicular phase, okay, we're working backwards. Let's just say for the sake of easiness, you ovulated on day 14 of your cycle. Your follicular phase was exactly 13 days. You ovulated on day 14, meaning day 14 is your ovulation day. Okay. Sperm can live in the female reproductive tract for up to 6 days. Okay. So what that means is if you ovulate on day 14, then you need to backtrack day 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9. If you have unprotected sex on day 9 of your cycle, there's a chance you get pregnant on day 14 because sperm can live in your reproductive tract for that long. Now, that's the longest it can live. We'll talk later in the episode about why, if you are trying, you should try later, closer to ovulation, not that far out. But that is possible that if you have unprotected sex 5 days before, so it would be 6 days including ovulation. So if you ovulation day 14, count all the way back, day 9, anywhere from day 9 to 14, if you had unprotected sex, that sperm can live in you. And then when you do release the egg on day 14, that is when you get pregnant. So technically, this is why it gets kind of confusing and people get really confused when the doctor's like, oh, you're actually 4 weeks, but you only ovulated 2 weeks prior. It's because they count it back to your period prior to that because most women don't actually know when they actually ovulated. So if we're getting really technical here, most pregnancies, when you're 40 weeks, you're actually 38 weeks based on when you ovulated, but they count back to the first period. So the whole thing about pregnancy is actually 10 months. It's not because you ovulated on day 14, you didn't ovulate on day one. Therefore, you got pregnant on day 14, 2 weeks later than what the doctor's telling you. But for the ease of not every woman knows when they ovulated and to keep it very concise, that is how they track it in the medical world. Anyways, so you just ovulated on day 14, okay? So that second half of your follicular phase is the phase that if you're trying to prevent pregnancy, you have safe sex or you avoid sex, okay? If you are trying to get pregnant, that's when it's go time, okay? Is during that 6-day window leading up to ovulation. So that is your ovulatory cycle. After the egg has not been fertilized, because we're talking about the three phases of your cycle, if it were to get fertilized, you would then become pregnant and you would not have the next phase of your cycle. You would have then pregnancy, not the luteal phase. So if you do not get pregnant and that egg disintegrates, then that where that egg came from, that follicle actually turns into a new gland called the corpus luteum. And this is your luteal phase, corpus luteum. Luteal phase. Okay. In the beginning, your follicles are maturing, follicular phase. Okay. So this is the corpus luteum, luteal phase. So that corpus luteum is actually releasing progesterone. Remember, you didn't have progesterone before ovulation. Ovulation is what triggers the secretion of progesterone from your ovaries via the corpus luteum. So progesterone is your dominant hormone in your luteal phase. Your luteal phase is a maximum of 16 days long because your luteal phase, it can only last the lifespan of the corpus luteum organ. So, or gland. So once that corpus luteum starts to die off, that's when your progesterone starts to decrease as that gland is kind of shriveling up. And then it triggers your period when progesterone drops below a certain point. And then that's why you may start to see a little bit of spotting before you officially get your period. Okay. I have had somebody in the past ask me what causes your luteal phase to be longer than 16 days, to which I replied to my friend and said, well, that would be pregnancy. It turns out she was pregnant. Kind of funny story. But your luteal phase cannot be longer than 16 days. However, it can be shorter. Now, there is an optimal level or optimal length of your luteal phase. if it's too short, that's a sign that you're not producing enough progesterone to hold a full luteal phase. Because once your progesterone drops below a certain amount, that's where you start your period and the whole, you go into your next follicular phase, your entire next cycle. So you need to be producing enough progesterone to have the length of your luteal phase be optimal. If your luteal phase is under, is 11 days or shorter, that's a sign that it, your progesterone may be on the lower end. The shorter it is, like if it's under 9 days, it's too short and that's a problem, okay? Now, mine is typically, and I use mine just for a reference because I have had my labs done and my progesterone's pretty dang optimal. And I usually have a 13-day luteal phase, sometimes a 14-day. So I don't think I've ever had a full 16-day luteal phase, but the last few times I've had my progesterone checked in my luteal phase, it's been pretty dang perfect. And I usually have a 13 to a 14 day luteal phase. Okay. So let's talk pregnancy. In order to get pregnant, a few things need to happen. One, you need to ovulate. If you're not ovulating, you cannot get pregnant. And this is, if you're not ovulating now and you want to get pregnant in 2 years, girl, you better figure out how to start ovulating now, or else what happens if you just don't ovulate for the next few years because you don't take care of your reproductive health. And then you go to start trying for a family and you're like, dang, I should have been working on this a while ago. Okay. That's why it's so important to do this stuff, to know, are you ovulating? Plus we love progesterone. Even if you're not trying to get pregnant, you need to ovulate to have progesterone. If you're not ovulating, you don't have progesterone. And progesterone is anti-anxiety. It's healing. It does so many good things for our body and our mental health and our thyroid health, our metabolism. You need progesterone. Okay. So a few things need to happen in order for you to get pregnant. One, you need to ovulate. Two, the egg that you produce that comes from the follicle must be a healthy egg. Three, the sperm must be healthy sperm. I'm trying to find a guest to come on to speak specifically on an entire episode about sperm. Stay tuned. Don't know if that will happen, but I'm trying to make that happen because the statistics are pretty wild that the quality of his sperm very much plays a role in the quality, like your baby's health. Okay. Number four, the sperm must stay alive long enough to meet the egg. That goes back to when I said you can get pregnant from having unprotected sex 6 days prior to ovulation, but that sperm has to live that whole time. So it has to be healthy enough to live. Okay. And then number five, in order to get pregnant, you must have optimal levels of progesterone. Okay. All of this is stage one. This is called fertilization. You need all of this to happen just to fertilize an egg to get that first step. There's several steps in before you even get to fetal development where you actually, like your 2 weeks post ovulation, there are so many problems that actually happen before you would even notice it, that there's a lot of times you may have actually gotten pregnant for a few days and then lost the cells because the cells were not compatible for life before you even know it. And then you get your period and you have no clue that you actually, the sperm did meet the egg, fertilization did happen, but the next steps are what didn't happen. And you would never know that. Okay. So it's not always an issue of step one, fertilization, but more so issues in step two. Okay. So now let's talk about why progesterone is so important for conceiving. So progesterone, once again, what happens after you ovulate in your luteal phase, this hormone prepares the endometrium, which is the lining of your uterus, to make it a livable environment for potential implantation of a fertilized egg, aka progesterone is necessary for your uterus to be a livable home for an egg to turn into a baby. Okay. Number two, progesterone supports implantation. So in stage two, after fertilization, the fertilized egg turns into blastocysts that travel from your fallopian tube to your uterus. Okay. We passed a few little steps in there, but to keep it simple, Progesterone helps to maintain the thickness and livability of your uterine lining so that the blastocyst can actually implant itself into your uterus. That collection of cells has to actually implant and kind of embed itself into one corner or one side of your uterus, your uterus lining, okay? So if implantation does occur and you got past stage two, progesterone prevents your period from happening and it supports early pregnancy before the placenta is formed, as well as prevents uterine contractions from happening so that your uterus stays a livable environment and that you don't start your period and you don't start shedding your lining, contractions don't start happening to shed your lining, and it also supports the blastocyst in creating the embryo as that is forming until the placenta has formed through the corpus luteum. Okay. So I talked about stage one, stage two. Stage two is actually where a lot of miscarriages happen or problems occur when a woman, without a woman even realizing it. Kind of already touched on this, but the potential of a fertilized egg to continue developing is a larger feat than sperm meeting the egg. So it's easier for sperm to meet the egg in fertilization to happen than it is for that fertilized egg to actually get to implantation, okay? And there's a lot of different reasons for this, which I may do a whole nother episode on that. We'll see. Stay tuned, okay? I don't want to overwhelm you just yet. So why is all of this important? Well, if you don't know the phases of your cycle, you may actually struggle to conceive, not because anything is wrong, but because you may not be having sex at the right time, okay? You could also be having sex at the right time, but not know if you're ovulating. So you may be thinking, okay, I'm having sex when my app is saying I'm ovulating, but then you're actually not ovulating. Or if you're not tracking your cycle and maybe you're just letting your app kind of tell you, or you're like trying but not trying, where you're not really tracking your cycle, but you are not having protected sex. I've just was having this conversation with Drew. I actually could list off about 5 or 6 different couples where I heard them say, it took us a lot longer than we expected. And my typical follow-up being in this career is, were you tracking your basal body temperature and using LH test strips? And they usually say, not for a while, but after about 6 months, we started to use test strips and then we got pregnant. And it's because they probably weren't having sex at the right time, because you have to have sex within that 5-6 day window. Your odds are even better if it's within 1-3 day window of ovulation, and then you have to have a healthy egg, you have to have a healthy sperm in order for it to happen. So if you don't actually know when that 24-hour window is for you, then your chances of getting pregnant drastically decrease because you may not be having sex at the right time, okay? So other reasons that this information is important to help prevent you from struggling to conceive is you can, by tracking your ovulation and the length of your luteal phase, you can actually tell if you have enough progesterone or if you have a healthy enough luteal phase to support a pregnancy, an early pregnancy, from that egg getting from stage one all the way to stage five, right? So let's jump into the three metrics you should actually use to track your ovulation. This can be used both to prevent pregnancy, but also to get pregnant. I would like to take a second to shout out one of my favorite show sponsors that we have here on the podcast, ClearStem Skincare. Okay, if you've been following me for a while, you know I have had quite a journey with acne. It's been my entire personality for a very long time, but I think it's very important for you to know before I continue speaking that I started using ClearStem products in 2020. I got my first like kit with two of their serums in one of their face washes for Christmas in 2020 and started using it and have incorporated a lot of their different products over the last 3 years. And then I just became affiliated with them at the end of 2023. Okay. So I have been using them for 3 years before I became affiliated with them. My journey. I felt I was trying to use so many different clean products when I started learning about living non-toxic and just like how everything in this world is toxic. And I would try all these different holistic skincare products, but my skin was either getting worse, I noticed more clogged pores, or it just was not getting any better. And as somebody that has oily and acne prone skin, I realized something that was in a lot of these products that I wasn't very happy with, and that was poor clogging ingredients. Things like olive oil, for example, or coconut oil. And then there's a whole plethora of other ingredients that I don't even know how to pronounce their names, that when I started using Clearstem products, when I was looking at their website, they have this section on their website where you can actually type in the ingredient list of the products you're using, and they will tell you if any of their flagged ingredients that are pore cloggers show up. And what do you know? Everything I was using, granted it wasn't toxic, wasn't going to give me cancer, it was just going to clog my pores and give me more acne, larger pores, more irritation, and more redness, and more blackheads, because there was ingredients that were clogging my pores. Okay. So if you have acne prone skin, you really need to avoid pore clogging ingredients. So what happens is the active ingredients in the product you're using are going to go into your pores to do the work that they're designed to do. But then those filler ingredients that tend to be where the clogging ingredients are, is in the fillers, that's going to follow the active ingredients and stay in your pore to then clog it. And then it's going to be deep down in there. And then it's just more and more acne, more oil, larger pores, more issues. Okay. So you need to check your products. Go to Clearstem's website, type in all of, you can go and copy and paste from your own skincare's product website, copy the ingredients, paste it into Clearstem's website, see if it's safe or not, see if anything lights up. And if you need to replace some of your items, I highly recommend literally anything on the Clearstem website. 95% of my skincare routine is Clearstem. Currently my favorite products, now that it is warmer and I'm not having to do so much damage repair from over-treating my skin, is I've been using the Clarity Blackhead Dissolver. I will use the Sulfur Spot Mask. You can wear that as a mask in your T-zone if you have more oily skin, or you can use it as on closed pimples, like cystic pimples or ones that are not open, to reduce redness and inflammation. And then I use the HydraGlow Moisturizer. When I was really focusing on my repairing moisture and just my skin barrier, I was using the No Botox Serum, and I was using their Hydra Berry Moisturizer, which did wonders. I used those in tandem for several months, and my skin was literally glowing for the longest time. So now I'm doing a little bit of a different routine as I move into this next season of my skincare. So use code Leslie for 15% off at checkout, both to save money, but also to support your girl. I really appreciate those of you that do use my codes when shopping for products. It does put a little bit of commission into my pocket. I promise you, it's not a ton. I get like 10% off the sale as commission. So it's not a lot, but my husband and I, we are trying to move cross country to be closer to family so we can start our own family and buy our first house. We've never had a house before, and we're trying to do that this year. So any little bit helps. So using my code while trying some really amazing products that I swear I've been using since before I was affiliated with them would just makes me so happy. So get some Clearstem and let me know if you like it. First and foremost, let's chit chat about why just using an app can be inaccurate. One, these apps, like your period tracking app is what I'm talking about, they are taking just the generalized data from everybody using that app and giving it to you. Yes, after you track for a couple of months and mark when you started your period, it will give you an estimate on when it thinks you should ovulate based on how long your cycles are, like your whole monthly cycle from period to period. However, if you're not entering the following data we're going to talk about, it's just making a blind guess on ovulation is sometime in the middle. So let's put her ovulation right smack dab in the middle of her cycle, even though you actually may have a longer follicular phase and a shorter luteal phase. So you may actually be ovulating a week later than what this app is predicting. So it's really important to, at a bare minimum, track your cervical mucus and your basal body temperature. LH test strips, you don't necessarily have to use them. I use them more so if you're really trying to not get pregnant, or you are really trying to get pregnant, or if you want to get labs done at a certain time and make sure that you get your labs done at the correct time of your cycle. So that's why apps are not that accurate. Even with me tracking my ovulation and stuff, to give you another example, last month or like 2 months ago, I did have a shorter luteal phase. I had just gotten my wisdom teeth out. And so my body was under a lot of stress. And then I was under a lot of emotional stress during that time. So I ended up having a shorter luteal phase and got my period much sooner, most likely because of the stress. So then my app told me the next month that I was going to have a shorter luteal phase just because I did the previous month. Well, my luteal phase went right back to normal, and it went back to like 13, 14 days instead of 10 days like it was the month before that. So I knew, okay, but in doing that, it shifted my ovulation. But once I put in my metrics that I track that I'm about to teach you about, the app adjusted to where I actually ovulated, and its prediction was incorrect. That's why you need to learn how to do this yourself so that you can see when you ovulated, because apps will be incorrect. All right. So let's get into it. First and foremost, let's chit chat about cervical mucus. So cervical mucus, also known as discharge, is what you might see when you wipe, or what you might see in your underwear, or you might even just feel more wet during different phases of your cycle, specifically the follicular phase and around ovulation. If you notice discharge in your undies, your underwear, that's totally normal. And there are some people that they may not notice a ton of discharge just normally, but you can see more discharge and it becomes more liquidy and less tacky and thick and more like liquid egg white, or just straight up you're changing your underwear a few times a day because you feel like you just got a waterfall. We're besties here. I could be very honest with you. There are definitely times when I get close to ovulation where I change my underwear a few times a day because I'm just sitting there and it feels like a waterfall just came out of me. And I'm just like, I'm working on content. Like, I'm not turned on. It's just happening. And that is when you're getting very close to ovulation. And why this happens is because as estrogen rises, when you get closer to ovulation, it loosens the mucus. So it does that so that sperm can get up through the cervix and up through your reproductive tract to an egg that's about to be released. So the more liquidy, loose, thin, and watery discharge you have, the closer you are to ovulation. So tracking what that discharge looks like in your app can be very helpful, because the more thick and tacky it is, or if you don't have any, you might be further away, and the more liquidy it is, you are closer to ovulation. Then you have LH test strips. So this is something you pee on, and this is where you're measuring that luteinizing hormone that peaks right before you ovulate. This is the hormone that is released from your brain when your estrogen gets to a certain point, and it tells the most mature follicle to release the egg. So the controversy here, well, not controversy, but the myth here is that if you get a peak or a positive LH test strip, this does not mean you have ovulated. This means that you could ovulate within the next hour to 36 hours, because that is when this hormone typically peaks before you ovulate. Okay. And then after you ovulate, this hormone will come crashing down. So this is why I don't like test strips. There's a couple different types. I don't like the ones that just give you a smiley face, that just are like black and white, positive or not. I like the ones where it's kind of like a COVID test, where you have a pregnancy test, but you have the control line, and then there's another line that shows up, and you can see if you start peeing on these strips a couple days before ovulation, you will see every day as you get closer to ovulation, that second red line goes from like a light shade of pink to as dark as the control line is. And then after you ovulate, it might even go away the next day completely, or it starts dropping back down. And that's why I like, because some people, they might not catch the LH test strip peak. You might miss the peak. And that's why I don't like the ones that are just positive or not, because there's been cycles where I catch my peak and it's a deep red line. And there's other times where I can see it's elevated, but it's not as high as the peak I normally get. And that's just because our ovulation doesn't work around the time of the day, right? So just because it's, you're taking it every day at 8 a.m., like it doesn't work on a 24-hour clock of the day and the sun and the moon cycle. You could ovulate at any given time, right? That hormone could peak at any given time. So you don't always catch your absolute peak. So that's why I recommend using the test strips that have two lines, a control, and then you can see that secondary line that's measuring your LH. You can see it kind of work its way up and then work its way back down. Once you do see it work its way up and you do see that peak, you know you're about to ovulate within, like at any given moment, all the way up to 36 hours from that peak, okay? It does not mean you have confirmed ovulation, because you can get a peak and never ovulate. That is a whole nother conversation, but that is very possible. And then people that have PCOS may notice that their LH is kind of wonky and it's high quite often, or it goes up and comes down and goes up and comes down. And that's a whole nother conversation, which I am trying to get another guest on, just to have the conversation with me about PCOS and fertility. I may have to do that episode alone, but I'm trying to find a guest for that as well. Okay. So cervical mucus tells you when you're getting close. LH test strips tell you when you're within 36 hours. I like to use the app called Pre-Mom, because you can take a picture of the LH test strip and it will save the photo. So then you can see all of the different, you can see it, like I have the picture of the last 7 days of all the strips, and you can see the progression of it. And then it actually analyzes it and gives you a number so that you can see the number that it's giving you from like 0.2 all the way up to 1.0 for your peak. Okay. Then there's basal body temperature. If you're going to do anything, I would recommend it's this. Okay. Because your basal body temperature is what is actually going to confirm that you did or you did not ovulate. How this works is, we've talked about in your luteal phase, you produce progesterone, right? And progesterone is not present before ovulation. So progesterone actually has a thermic effect on your body, meaning it increases your temperature, your basal body temperature. So if you take your temperature with this thermometer every day of the month, every day of your cycle, you will see that your temperature is around, like, let's say 97.5 during most of your follicular phase. And then after you ovulate, you see it spike up and it goes to 98, then it goes to 98.1, then 98.3. And then 7 days after you ovulate, it may even be as high as like 98.7. Okay. So when you ovulate, your temperature increases and then it remains elevated, if not continues to increase. And then it starts to decrease right before or when you get your next period. So this is the only metric besides blood testing or like hormone testing to see your progesterone levels, to see if you ovulated at home without going to the doctor to do a hormone test. Okay. So all you have to do is get a basal body thermometer. I will put links to my favorite app, my favorite thermometer, and my favorite LH test strips in the show notes. I use the Pre-Mom app though, and the Easy at Home strips and basal body thermometer. So you have to do this first thing in the morning before you get out of bed. You do have to get about 4 hours of sleep in order to do this. So what you would do is you'd go to bed. When you wake up, before you get out of bed, take your thermometer, put it in your mouth. It takes about 60 seconds to actually calculate your temperature, and it has to be a basal body thermometer because of this, how slight the changes are. This just shows you 2 points past the decimal versus 1 point past the decimal in a regular thermometer. And you need those exact numbers because your temperature is not going up like 2-3 degrees. It's going up like half a degree, maybe even less. So get 4 hours of sleep. First thing you do when you wake up is you grab that thermometer, put it in your mouth while you're rubbing your eyes, trying to wake up, and then it gives you your number, and then stick that number in the Pre-Mom app, and you will see a chart, and you will be able to see your temperature go from one number to then peak after. And if you don't see that temperature peak, that means that you probably didn't ovulate. So you can tell if you're ovulating by using your basal body thermometer instead of having to go to the doctor right away. Obviously, if you are not ovulating and you see that you're not ovulating cycle after cycle, that's when you contact somebody like myself to help figure out why, or you go make an appointment with your gynecologist to see what's going on there. Okay. Now, you do need to do this before you get out of bed. Do not get up and start brushing your teeth and doing all the things and then take your temperature. When you get up, your temperature will increase naturally, which could give you a false positive or a false increase in reading. So you need to take this when you're laying down in bed. I recommend you put it next to your alarm clock or on your phone if your phone is your alarm clock, so it's the first thing that you grab at night. This taking your temperature can also tell you how long, because you, if you confirm your ovulation, then you can see how long your luteal phase is, which tells us generally if you're producing enough progesterone or not. Because if you're not producing enough progesterone, you're going to have a shorter luteal phase. If you have a longer luteal phase, we know, okay, you're probably producing enough progesterone to where you're holding a lengthy luteal phase, which is healthy and good. So you can then see the length of your luteal phase by confirming when you ovulate. You can't do that if you just let your app tell you and you don't confirm with your temperature. You can also see the state of your thyroid health, which your thyroid is really important to conceive. And if you have hypothyroidism, or if you have subclinical hypothyroidism where your thyroid hormones are just a little bit low, but maybe not low enough to get that diagnosis, this will play into your fertility. So if your temperature is routinely in the like 96s, and after you ovulate, it's only getting up to like then low 97s, that could be a sign that maybe your thyroid is running a little bit slow. I like to see in your luteal phase after you ovulate a temperature of above 98.0. That's where I see pretty good ovulation, pretty good progesterone levels. When it's below that, and to give you an example, when I first got off birth control, my follicular phase temp was in the 96s, and then post-ovulation, it was in the 97s. Now, years later, my thyroid's in such a better place now. I go from high 97s to high 98s after I ovulate. And then just a note, if you are taking your temperature with a, they have like one of those devices you wear on your wrist or your arm or an Oura ring, your temperature may be lower. It may be in the 96 ranges just because it's going to be cooler on your skin versus an oral temperature. Okay. So when are the best results to get pregnant? So we just talked about how you can tell when you're leading up to ovulation, and I just told you how to know if you did ovulate. We talked a little bit about this earlier, but you will have best results and your chances of getting pregnant are actually highest if you have sex 1 to 3 days prior to ovulation. So yes, remember there's that like 5 days leading up to plus the day of ovulation equaling 6 days that sperm could, you know, get you pregnant, but you're going to have the best chances if you have sex within 1 to 3 days of ovulation versus 5 to 6 days. It's still possible at 5 to 6 days. Like, it still very much is a strong possibility. So definitely don't discredit that chance, but your best chances are making sure that you are having sex between days 1 to 3 away from ovulation. Okay. The last thing that I will add for today is, even if you're not trying to get pregnant right now, you should start tracking your cycle so that you can address any suboptimal findings before you do start trying, and also just to have better overall health. Remember, your period is your fifth vital sign. If things are not right, if you're not ovulating, if you have a short luteal phase, your temperature is too low, those are signs that things need to be addressed deeper within. So let's be proactive with your fertility journey, okay? I don't think it's too serious or crazy to do this. It may even save you a lot of heartbreak and months of trying by tracking your ovulation so you know your body, okay? And on the flip side, if you are tracking and things aren't working and you're doing everything I just told you to do, you know that you may need to look into things a little bit sooner than what your doctor would. Typically, if you're struggling to get pregnant, your doctor will tell you to come back after a year a year of trying before they do anything. So by tracking this, you can actually start to develop some of that information on your own before a year of trying. So you don't have to, I don't want to say the word waste, but a year doesn't have to go by before you actually start looking into things. So, and if that's the case and you notice, hey, all these things you said are like signs of like issues, I've got them. And your doctor's like, no, keep trying for another year. Come knock on my door. This is what I do. I help women every single day with getting pregnant, balancing their hormones through nutrition and lifestyle. Because let me tell you, that is a huge portion of it, is nutrition and lifestyle. Okay. Yes, there are times where it comes to you need IVF and there's unexplained infertility. Those are very serious and very real cases. But I want to help you before you get to that conclusion and see if we can reverse some things and get you more optimal through your nutrition, your lifestyle, potentially certain supplementation if you're case calls for that. So if you need help, if this sounds like you, if this is overwhelming, but you want to just make sure that your body's in the right place, contact me, reach out. I will put my consult call link in the show notes and we can just have a 45-minute chat about what your goals are. And I can let you know what I think you should do. If that is, I think you should sign up with me and we should need to, like, this is a case where we need to work for 4 to 6 months together. Or if I'm like, hey, this is what you need to do. You can do this on your own. You just need to make this small tweak, or maybe I tell you, you need to get blood work. It's different with everybody, but I want to provide you with as much information as possible so that when you do try, it is smooth sailing and things work out for the best. This is also why I suggest that if you are on birth control and you want to start having a family in the next 1 to 3 years, I would probably get off birth control or consider getting off birth control sooner rather than later. Of course, this is not medical advice. I cannot tell you to get off medication, but anecdotally, I see every day the women that come to me that when they get off of birth control, issues arise. And it takes 6 months, 12 months, 18 months to balance things out and get the body back to where we want it to be, where levels should be post birth control. So if trying to conceive is on your 2024 to 2027 wish list, I would start taking that into consideration now so that we can address anything before you do start trying, okay? And that is where I will end today's podcast episode. Next week, I'm going to talk specifically about labs to get to look into fertility and what you should consider looking into if you are trying to get pregnant in the next year or so, okay? So I love you guys. I hope you have a wonderful weekend and we'll talk again next week.